नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाय शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे. Okay, so actually I'm just looking out at the crowd and I'm realizing I've already actually given this seminar. And I'm looking at the crowd and I think some of you are here when I gave this last time. But most of the time we don't remember things.
We don't take good advice.
Does anyone remember being in this session before? It was in the Prashadam room, wasn't it? Yeah. But no one remembers anyway, so it's okay. We did do this session already with some mentors and Sangha leaders. It must have been 2 or 3 years ago. So when the mentorship committee asked me to do something, one thing is I didn't have much time to prepare. They told me, I was running around doing different things. But the other major thing is that I thought many people haven't heard this, and I think this is a very important topic to explore. So if you have been here before and you don't want to rerun, then I totally understand if you want to take some time out and come back later on. But otherwise, today we'll be discussing this topic of how to give good advice. Who here thinks they give good advice? Mentorship system is really in trouble then. It's very interesting actually, giving advice. Isn't that the most frequent service you do as a mentor or a Sangha leader, isn't it? Can you think of any service you do for your mentees more than giving them advice? Generally, giving advice is the biggest thing we do. Most of the time we don't do practical stuff for them, although we probably should. But the main thing we're doing a lot of the time with the people we're helping in Krishna consciousness is we're giving them advice. Because advice is such an important part of spiritual life. So giving good advice is the most frequent service you will do as a mentor. But giving good advice is also one of the hardest services you will do as a mentor. Isn't it? Sometimes, is it hard to give people advice? Have you been in a situation where someone comes to you and they just start pouring out their heart with some situation that you just think, like while they're speaking, you're just thinking, how am I even going to respond to this? Right? Sometimes people in such situations, how to even give advice? Very difficult. So giving good advice is the most frequent service you'll do. We're getting some advice there. That's an interesting ringtone. So giving good advice is the most frequent service you'll do. It's the hardest service. It can also be the most rewarding service. Isn't it? When you give good advice to someone, they follow the advice and you see, you know, something good comes about in their life from that. It's very, very rewarding. But now let me also tell you something very grave, which is that giving advice is the most dangerous service also. It's a very, very dangerous service. I don't want to scare anyone here. Scared faces. Yes, it's a very dangerous service. Because as soon as you begin to give people advice, you're now directing their spiritual journey. We are all lost souls here in the material world and we're trying to go back to Krishna. And when you give someone advice, then you are now directing their journey back to Krishna. And if you give bad advice and you somehow impede someone's journey to Krishna, then that is a very heavy thing. That's a very, very heavy situation. And therefore, on our part, because giving advice is such a frequent service, we should be very, very much in knowledge of all the principles that we should follow when we give advice to others. And that's what we'll do today. We'll go through some principles which should be in place when we are giving advice. So here Prabhupada, well, before that, okay, sorry, this isn't, I can also control it. If you just put that in. Here Srila Prabhupada says in the fifth canto, the best process is to take the advice and instructions of Sri Krishna or his bona fide representative. In this way, one can be happy in this life and the next. And this is a very famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. This says, Durgame patimendasya skalat pada gater muhu svakripa yasti danena shanta shantva valambanam. Very beautiful verse. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, my path is very difficult. I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, may the devotees help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. So everyone is struggling on their journey towards Krishna, and all of you are the sticks of support for those devotees. So it's a very, very grave responsibility. They are relying on you for the stick of your mercy, the stick of your good advice, the stick of the support of your guidance to allow them to reach Krishna very, very quickly. So spiritual life in Kali Yuga is very, very difficult. In one lecture, Prabhupada says, spiritual life in Kali Yuga, very difficult proposition. Very difficult. So, so many obstacles will come in people's lives, and then you will have to be able to help them navigate past and over those obstacles. That's your job. And therefore, how can we be more trained in giving good advice? That's the topic for today. Okay, so now I want to ask you a question. If someone came to you asking for advice, now when we talk about advice, I want you to also reflect on the last 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, when different people have been coming to you asking for advice in different situations. So then, and that way you can relate it to your real life experience. So when someone comes to you asking for advice on a certain situation, then immediately your mind is now thinking how to respond to them. Yeah? So what do you draw upon in order to formulate advice? What do you use? What do you refer to in order to advise a person or give them some response to their situation? Yes, please.
Oh, the concept of high, higher and highest principle.
Okay.
So, highest principle being the Lord's words. So, first and foremost would be the words of the Lord to the Shastras.
Okay.
Then the words of the Guru.
Okay.
And then coming out to more mundane situation of the practicalities of life and the personal situation in that order.
Okay, so you're using Shastra. When someone's coming to you for advice, in your mind you're thinking, where does it say anything about this in Shastra? And you're trying to draw upon that, yeah? Second thing you're looking at is the words of the acharyas, the teachers, and then you're looking at practicalities. Okay, good. Anything else?
Put myself in that situation and I would see how would that feel and then try and advise accordingly.
Okay, so you try to empathize with them by putting yourself in their situation. Yeah. Very good. Anything else you think about?
Just take time for the person because he's come and I don't know what's there. So I take time and sympathize and listen.
Okay.
Without giving any advice at the time because I don't know what's
okay. There. Okay, good. But when it comes to the point of actually giving advice, what do you draw on? Yeah. Yes.
I try and think of what I've asked you or other mentors and what you said and how I can apply. It's basically often it's the same thing, but
okay,
I've gone through, they're going through, so I just say the same advice. But
issues are the same. The same thing. It's funny actually, you see in your life that everything that you went through 10 years ago, then it's the same thing happening, or that's going on with devotees around you. Very good. So you ask. Very good. Yes. So what we've learned through our own experiences, is, you have something different?
No, I'm going to say the same.
Yes, what we've experienced in our own life.
And then my experience.
Experience, very good.
If I have knowledge of similar situations in my life, then I will share that.
Very good, very good. Anything else?
Praying to be an instrument.
Praying to be an instrument. And then what does that do? How does that help you? But what happens when you pray?
The mercy.
The mercy. And how does the mercy come?
In form of the knowledge.
In form of the knowledge. And where does the knowledge come from?
Paramatma.
Inspiration. Okay? So this is basically it. Yeah, if you just put it. This is working? No, it's working. Okay. So these are the things we use. These are the things we use to formulate our advice. One thing is the Shastra, the teachings of the Acharyas. Second thing is we try to relay our own experiences and realizations on this topic. And then we look for inspiration from Krishna. Of course, we may, as humble devotees, we may not rely so much on this. Or we may not think we are being inspired by Krishna every moment to advise people. So for us, number one and two are more of the basis by which we're giving advice to people. But actually, as we evolve more and more in spiritual life, and as we said here, as we become more prayerful and connected with Paramatma, then Krishna will also help. Krishna explains this actually in the Gita. He says, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita. That for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. So for very, very evolved spiritual personalities, they're actually in contact with Paramatma and they can actually formulate advice on that basis. That's why sometimes people say, how can a guru advise you? Because the guru never sees you. He's on the other side of the world. How can he give you advice? He doesn't know what's happening day to day. But for very, very evolved spiritual personalities, Paramatma samahita. Krishna knows everything, isn't it? Vedaham samatittani. Krishna knows everything. So Krishna reveals to the guru who has taken responsibility for the disciple everything that the guru needs to know in order to advise the disciple. And therefore, isn't it amazing? You all may have that experience with your own spiritual masters and shiksha gurus that sometimes they can just give you advice. And it's just spot on. And you think they don't know anything about my situation in one sense, but it goes beyond. But for our situation, number one and two, this is really what we're focusing on. This should be the basis of our advice to others. What does the scripture say? What did the acharyas say? And what are our own experiences and realizations on this topic? Yeah? Any questions so far? Yes.
Can I have your watch?
Okay. So now I just want to ask you very, very quickly. So we're finishing what time? 11:25, right?
11:30.
11:30, okay. So now I want you to, just for a few moments, just turn to the person next to you. And what I want you to do is tell them, one person says one piece of good advice that you received in the last year. And then what I want you to tell them is, what do you think it was in that person that made them able to give you that good advice? What is it that they did? What quality did they have that helped them to give that good advice to you? Yeah? And then what I want the other person to do is turn to the partner and say one piece of bad advice. We can leave out names. Don't worry, this is not a secret plot to expose, bad mentors. But I want you to tell them one piece of bad advice that you received. And what was it within the person advising you that made them give you that bad advice, or which contributed to the fact that the advice that they gave you was not very good? Yeah? Does it make sense? So say one piece of good advice, one person, one piece of bad advice, and then what I want you to reflect upon is what's the quality that the advisor had that made it good or made it not so good. Yeah? Can I just ask you to do that for a few moments? You have a question?
Yeah. Can the advice be something that you heard from a lecture, or must be some
personal interactions? Yeah? So I just give you a few moments to do that. You can go in threes also. So the purity of their own character and the purity of their intention, maybe also. Like when you see someone advises you and they have no agenda, there's nothing in it for them, they're just doing it for your good, and you can feel that, then doesn't it make the experience much more penetrating? For sure. So the purity of the person, the spiritual purity of the person giving the advice, yes. Anything else? Yes.
Purity is a force, so if some advice is like you yourself following, then you can give that advice to others.
But yes.
Not just telling others to do, but the individual is not following. So
yeah.
It's like you set as an example, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, they say there's a famous quote, you know, you may as well take my advice, it's very valuable because I don't take it. It's like that. If people don't follow what they're saying, then yeah.
So recently I have realized that instead of advice, reassurance.
Yes.
Is very important.
Sometimes people don't actually need an answer, they just need the process of being heard.
Being heard.
A sounding board.
Yes.
Yes.
Reassure a person that it's going to be okay.
Yes.
Yes. Just being okay,
yeah,
is a big stepping stone.
Yeah. When we're saying all of these things, really think, you know, because this is all very practical. You can think, how much am I following this when I give advice? Do you have something?
No, I also added to you see also there is the purity of instruction.
Okay.
And it works.
Yes.
And I just follow the instruction, it did work. So it's the purity of the person which is following to,
yeah, very
to
good.
The highest level, so it works.
Sure. Good. Yes?
Just the love and compassion in their heart comes out. And when we feel that we are being loved and we are being cared at the same time as the advice is being given, our heart, I think, becomes far more receptive.
Yes.
I think one of the most important things you also said was that their advice is totally unbiased. It's unconditional. There is nothing for them, but nothing,
yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
And you can see that coming out in their advice because of all the above.
Sure.
It's just a point, something related to
it. Yes. Yes.
But also when I notice that the advices are based on Prabhupada's teaching.
That there's some spiritual integrity in what they're saying. It's not just someone's idea or someone's inspiration, but this is actually grounded in something very, very authentic and something which is very, very chaste to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Very good. One last one. Yeah.
I think it's the compassion that somebody really wants to help you.
Yeah.
You feel that.
Yeah.
When you hear a concern or a problem to somebody, and you probably got a person that you know is going to be compassionate to you.
Yeah.
You know somebody. You're going to reveal something to somebody that you trust.
Right.
So you feel that compassion.
Sure.
That they really want to help you.
Sure.
So, and that will come out with everything else that will be said.
Yeah.
You know, the like teaching the scriptures from Krishna's words or the Guru or the Acharyas or whatever it may be. But that advice will definitely help you.
Yeah. Yeah. They say in the world, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you can have the best answers, you can have the best advice, you can have the best guidance, but if they don't have confidence that you have their best interests at heart, will they really be able to take that advice? With good points. And bad advice. Any points? Yes.
You can only get in the karmic world, the outside world.
Okay.
And at the moment, an advice comes, and the moment we know that there's a vested interest of that person giving advice, it on questioning becomes very shaky because their interest is not you, possibly something else, and you can immediately say that the advice is not entirely good.
Yeah, so of course, when the bias comes in, when the vested interest and the motives, So a lot of these things, we just reverse it. What the good was, reverse it to the bad. Anything else that came out?
Yes.
This is probably one of the most common. Anything different from this that came out? No, that was the main one. Okay, good. So what I'm going to do now, we kind of put together 12 principles of good advice. Three principles are principles that you apply even before you give anyone advice. Six principles are principles that you apply while you're giving the advice and while you're formulating the advice. And then three principles are principles that we should follow after we've given the advice, because it doesn't stop once you've advised someone, it carries on, the relationship is ongoing. So a lot of these have already been mentioned. As I mentioned these principles, what I want you to do is, again, reflect it back in your own life, your own experiences, assess yourself, see how much you're following these principles, see where you could improve. I'd also really appreciate if you could bring in examples which are relevant to either reinforce a point or to, you know, bring some other perspective to the point. And if at any point you have any questions, I think there's some devotees on Skype, so if anyone has any questions, then to kind of clarify what these principles are and how we apply them, then we can also take those questions, yeah? Okay, so the first principle of giving good advice. Now these principles you apply even before you offer any advice to anyone. And the first thing which Nimai Chandrapur mentioned is that we have to hear people out. It sounds so simple, but oftentimes we don't take the time and effort to really just hear people. You know, Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. And you know what happens? For the whole of the first chapter, Krishna doesn't even say anything. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If anyone's got the answer, Krishna's got the answer. But what does Krishna allow Arjuna to do? He allows him to pour out his heart. He allows him to get all the issues off his chest. He allows him to fully express himself to the point where Arjun comes to Krishna and says, okay, now can you tell me what I should do? And even then the Acharyas are saying Krishna is kind of like, no, you don't need me as a guru. Arjun says, no, I want you as my guru. Shishya shteham sadhimam dham prapannam. And then Krishna says, okay. And then Krishna gives, the Bhagavad Gita. So first, we have to hear people out. Why do we have to hear people out? The first thing is so that we can fully understand their situation. Oftentimes, we advise people without fully even understanding their situation. And you know, one thing happens when someone pours their heart out to you. Usually what happens for the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, what they're actually doing is they're telling you the superficial causes of their problem. Only when you allow them to speak more, go a little bit deeper, then you actually start realizing, hang on, what's the real issue here? What's the root cause of the problem? Otherwise, in the beginning, people are just telling you the emotional problems that are the superficial issues. So as you hear more, you're able to actually understand more deeply what the root cause of someone's problem is. And then when you understand the root cause, then you can really help them. Otherwise, as Prabhupada says, you're just blowing on the boil. Your advice will just give them some superficial benefit, but it won't get to the root of the problem. So we have to hear people to fully understand their situation, to understand what's behind the issues that they're coming up with. And also, you know why we have to hear people? Because when you take the time to hear someone, then it gives them the confidence. It gives them the confidence that, okay, that person has now heard everything, they know all the facts, now I'm ready to hear them. Otherwise, people may not hear you if they don't have that confidence that you've actually heard them. So we have to really give time to people. You know? Oftentimes our lives are so busy, and when someone comes to us wanting to talk, we're just rushing and we're just trying to get through it. But to give time to people is one of the greatest services you can actually render to someone. To give time to someone. Isn't it when you're speaking to someone and you can see that that person is fully present listening to you? Doesn't it feel good? And how does it feel when you speak to someone and you can see they're just somewhere else and they're just waiting for it to get over? Right? So my mom always used to say to me, God has given you 2 ears and 1 mouth. So listen more than you speak. Right? Because in listening, so many things happen. Yeah. Of course, we should understand there's a limit to it. Because you know, sometimes people come to you. Sometimes people come to you and they have no intention whatsoever of following anything you have to say. They just want to talk and talk and talk and talk. So there's a limit. At a point when you see that, okay, this isn't going anywhere, then you may have to take a different strategy. But as a general principle, if we can hear people out, that's very, very important. That's even before we give them any advice. Yeah? Any questions on this or any points? Oh, Mr. Vase, yes, please.
You're saying that such beautiful examples we see in sannyasis when we go to them and they hear us out. Not hear us babbling, but they're just quietly listening and nodding. And it's just amazing that it's so inspiring as a mentor.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful example.
To see that example. Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's such an important thing. And we see that, you know, as you said, sannyasis and gurus and even very, very evolved spiritual personalities, they also take the time to do this. Often my experience with very spiritually evolved personalities is that they've figured your situation out in a few minutes. You can see, they know. They know what you're going through, they know what the issue is, they're 10 steps ahead of you, but they still take the time to let you get it off your chest. It's so important. So important hearing. So, and as Mataji explained, sometimes people, you know, oftentimes people actually know what they're supposed to do. They know what they're supposed to do. And just someone to hear them and let them speak, in their own mind, they actually get it clear when they're pouring out their heart, what I'm supposed to do. So you'll even save yourself giving advice when you just hear someone, because they'll come to their own conclusion. They say advice is what you ask for when you wish you didn't know what you actually have to do. In other words, you know what you have to do, you wish it wasn't that thing, so you ask for advice. But actually you know what you're supposed to do. Okay? So the first thing is we have to hear out the devotees. And then the other major thing is we have to ask the right questions. I also touched upon this when I was just speaking, but when you ask people's questions, then you help them and you help yourself to understand what is the root of the problem. One of the biggest arts of helping people, advising people, guiding people, is that you have to hear the unheard. Right? Remember this principle, you have to hear the unheard. There's a story that once a king, he sent his prince. He wanted his prince to become the future king, the future ruler. So he said, I'm going to send you to one of the sages in the forest to learn a very important quality that will help you to rule the universe, rule the kingdom. So this prince, he went over to the sage. And they had a bit of a conversation. The sage said, today I'm going to teach you a very, very important principle. But before I teach you that principle, what I want you to do is go to the forest, spend one day there, and then I want you to come back and tell me everything that you heard. He said, well, what has this got to do with ruling a kingdom? But he did it. So he went to the forest, he spent a whole day in the forest, listening, meditating, really keeping his ears open, and then he came back, and then the sage said to the prince, what did you hear? So the prince said, I heard the sound of the wind whistling, I heard the sound of the leaves rustling, I heard the sounds of the cuckoos singing, I heard the sounds of the crickets chirping. And he was looking at the guru, the sage, and the sage wasn't impressed. He said, anything else? The prince said, no. The sage said, go back to the forest and don't come back here until you hear more than that. So then, this prince, he went back to the forest and he sat down, he meditated for one day, he was listening. And he couldn't hear anything else apart from what he had already identified. He said, what to do? I can't go back until I hear something else. So the next day he went into a deeper meditation. He was listening, keeping his ears open. He couldn't hear anything more. By this time he was getting hungry. So I better start hearing something, you know. So then the third day he sat down in even more rapt attention. And then he began hearing things. He began hearing things all day that he had never heard before. So then, confident, he came back to the sage. So the sage said, did you hear more? He said, yes, I heard more. The sage said, what did you hear this time? He said, this time, as I heard more attentively, I heard the sound of the sun warming the earth. I heard the sound of the flowers opening in bloom. I heard the sound of the grass drinking up the morning dew. And when the sage saw him and heard him, he said, yes, now you have really heard. He said, the art of listening is not just to listen to external sounds, but is to listen to the deeper calling within. When you rule the kingdom, he told his prince, don't just react to the external sounds and the external talks of the people, don't just hear their words, but try to hear their hearts. Try to hear the unheard. Try to hear the complaints that they're not telling you. Try to hear the struggles that they're not expressing to you. Try to hear the feelings that they're going through that they haven't been able to tell anyone about. That is the art of real listening. So someone who's a very good listener is able to ask the question so that they can actually ascertain the deeper thing within someone's life that they're going through. And everyone's going through something, but people feel very, very inhibited to actually express what's going on. So when you ask the right questions and show the right concern, then you will be able to actually extract what is actually the unheard issue here. Yeah? So the first thing is hear them out. The second thing is ask the right questions. And then the third thing is now you have to begin to reflect. So what are we drawing upon to make our advice, as we explained before? Shastra, experiences, and we're trying to hear the inspiration of Krishna within. So you know, these things, you got to do it instantaneously. If someone's pouring their heart out to you, then you can't just say, okay, let me analyze this for like a couple of weeks and then I'll get back to you, you know. You have to immediately in your mind start computing everything. What they're saying, okay, where does this relate to Shastra? What they're going through, where does this relate to the teachings of the Acharyas? What can I draw upon in terms of my own experiences that relates to this situation? And now you're beginning to put all of these things in the equation. So then you have to do this proper reflection before you actually speak. Yeah, as I say, think before you speak. Sometimes the most powerful things are the most simple things. But think properly before you speak. You know, sometimes you say something and for you it's just a very insignificant small thing, and you know how seriously someone takes it. Sometimes it comes out in a conversation, like they say, alright, 10 years ago you said that, and you think like, my God, you remembered that for 10 years? I just said it like that, I don't even remember I said it. But the words that you say, people will actually take very, very seriously. You know how much influence and power you have in someone's life is actually scary sometimes. It's actually very, very scary. How much faith people are actually putting in you to guide them in the right way, and therefore proper reflection needs to take place and proper prayer to Krishna. You know, when someone's asking you for advice, you can pray to Krishna in your mind, like, Krishna, now somehow or other, as Prabhupada said, make my words suitable for their hearing. Empower me, give me something, give me some inspiration in order to guide them in the way which will help them in their spiritual life. So it's very, very important, before we even give advice, we have to follow these things. Yeah? Any questions on this? Does it make sense? Is it quite straightforward? Is it still powerful? You have to say yes to that. Okay, so these are the things that we consider before giving advice. Okay? So now you've done all of these things. Now you have to actually begin to formulate your advice to someone. So now these are some principles to think about while you're formulating your advice. Your advice to someone should be practical, but it should also be transcendental. Yeah? What I mean by this is that people come to you with problems, and your advice should be able to give them some instant relief, some instant betterment in their life, some instant solutions that are very practically applicable and that can help them very, very instantaneously. But at the same time, your advice should be such that it elevates them to a higher level of spirituality, a higher level of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately that higher level of Krishna consciousness is what's going to help them transcend these problems. Does it make sense? Like say for example, someone comes to you saying, I just can't get along with this devotee. I mean, these things happen sometimes. Just a few times. Prabhupada said, you know, one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, I just can't tolerate this devotee anymore. Prabhupada said, you have to tolerate him just as I'm tolerating you. So relationship. Take for example where devotees are having a relationship problem. Then you should offer that devotee some practical advice. You know, keep a distance. You know, be careful not to get into conversations about these controversial points. You give some practical advice about how to deal with that person so that no further, you know, altercation will take place. But at the same time, you should give them some transcendental advice. Devotees are very rare. Every Vaishnava has some kind of, okay, maybe they're all works in progress, or something. Try to develop a higher vision of the other devotees. We're not just giving them practical advice, but we're trying to also elevate their own spiritual vision. And so our advice to people should be practical, but it should also elevate them to a higher understanding in Krishna consciousness. And oftentimes what happens is our advice goes to one extreme or another. Some people, some mentors, they just give practical advice. Just very practical advice, with not really giving anything spiritual which will help that person to elevate themselves. And some mentors are very transcendental. You know, like I was in Manchester Temple some months ago, so one of our devotees, he had like this excruciating back pain. So he came down, there was one of the brahmachari in the temple room who was resident there. So he said to the brahmachari, he said, do you have any ibuprofen? So this brahmachari, he looked at him and he said, ibuprofen? So why do you want that? He said, well, I've got this excruciating back pain and I need some relief. He said, you don't need ibuprofen. He said, I've got much better. So then the devotee thought, okay, maybe he's into like natural medicines or something. He said, I got something much better. I said, really? What? He said, take this verse, Trinadapi Sunita, and rub it into your bones. Anyway, the devotee took it. I mean, but I was thinking, okay, maybe something very transcendental, okay, maybe that has its part to play, but maybe you could also give him some kind advice to help him in the immediate term. So advice should be practical, but also transcendental. And we should always balance it, not one way or the other. You should give both side by side. Yeah? Another aspect is that advice should be achievable, but also challenging. You should give advice that people can actually follow, people can actually do. You should give advice that is actually within the grasp of someone at their current state of spiritual practice. But at the same time, you should be expert enough to know how to help someone grow and challenge them so they can actually develop themselves as a person. Yeah. So Prabhupada often said, you have to know how to bend someone without breaking them. See, one kind of thing that happens with mentors is that it's always easier to give advice which will be accepted, advice which will make you popular, advice which won't, you know, push the person out of their comfort zone. Then you're good, I'm good, we're all good, and there's no problem. So there's a part for that. But then a mentor also has to make the disciple a little bit, the mentee a little bit uncomfortable by pushing them out of their comfort zone. So you have to know how much to get the balance right. Srila Prabhupada was so expert. He was able to challenge his disciples and bring them out to a higher level, you know, without breaking them. Now, I was just reading this actually, maybe it's in Harisariprabhu's diaries, that he had one devotee in mind to become a temple president. And you know, no one wants to become a temple president. Yeah, like one time, Bajinarayan Prabhu, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "What's the duty of a temple president?" Because he was a temple president. So he said, "What's the duty of a temple president?" Prabhupada said, "The duty of a temple president is that if something goes wrong, it's your fault." It's like, my God, who wants to be a temple president? So Prabhupada had in mind this devotee that he will be a temple, but Prabhupada knew he won't agree, you know. He'll be very, he'll make too many excuses. He'll try to wiggle out of it. So then Prabhupada called him. He was a family man. So Prabhupada called him and he said, I want to speak to you. And immediately when the devotee heard that, he knew, oh my God, these meetings are dangerous. So then the devotee came. And then Prabhupada said to this devotee who he wanted to become temple president, he said, "So you have a nice family life and you know, I can see you're practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. I want you to take sannyas." So this devotee thought, oh my God, sannyas! How can I take sannyas? I have my children, my young children, my wife, our whole family situation is set up very, very nicely. It was like complete existential crisis. Prabhupada just threw him into a whole nother place. He said, "I want you to take sannyas." And the devotee was just like flipping out. He's like going around the ceiling, you know, his head was... And then Prabhupada said, "Okay, just relax, calm down, calm down, calm down." He said, "Okay, if you don't want to take sannyas, just become temple president." "Okay, I'll become temple president, no problem, anything but sannyas." So that art we have to be able to develop. That art we have to be able to develop. To know how to nurture someone in such a way that we can bring out the best in them. And in order to do that, you need to give them advice which is achievable. Because that gives them inspiration that they're actually going somewhere, but also challenging, which will help them to go further. And then another very important principle in offering advice is that we should always maintain spiritual integrity. Our advice, I think, was mentioned here when we were going back and forth, that when you can see someone's advice is based on something solid, is based on something pure, then it's much not only easier for the person to take, but ultimately it's going to give them the real benefit. So we should always maintain spiritual integrity. We should never, if someone is in some kind of maya or illusion and they're coming to ask us for advice, we should not become part of the same illusion. We should be on firm spiritual ground so that we can actually bring them onto that same spiritual ground. So we shouldn't compromise the purity of what we're giving someone. Like Srila Prabhupada said, if I had come to the US and I hadn't talked about the four eggs, I would have many, many more disciples, for sure. But Prabhupada didn't compromise. Because if you don't give someone something spiritually pure, then you lose the potency. So if we're actually trying to help people and advise them and guide them, then we have to do it off a platform of strong, solid spiritual integrity. And then we can actually really help. Another important thing that we can do when giving advice is that we can give people different options, isn't it? So sometimes when you're advising someone, you can tell them, you know, I would advise this is the best thing you can do. And make it very clear, this is the best. But you know, I understand it's difficult, so if you can't do that, do this. Does Krishna do this in the Bhagavad Gita? Where does Krishna do this in the Bhagavad Gita? 12th chapter. Krishna says, engage your mind in always thinking of me. Engage all your intelligence in me and thus live with me always. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, Nashaknoshi. But if you can't do this, then abhyasa yogena tato. Then practice abhyasa yoga. Practice the rules and regulations of devotion. And then Krishna gives many more options. Always giving options, always giving hope, always giving some option by which someone can advance and go forward. But while giving options, remember you're telling them this is the best. And make sure they know what's the best so that they can get to that level. Another important thing while offering advice is always, not always, but sometimes if it's required, recommend them for another opinion. We are not Krishna, we don't know everything, we don't always have all the answers. It's okay. It's okay, we're not Krishna, so we're not expected to be like that. Sometimes we feel we have to have an answer or we have to have a piece of advice for this person, but in many cases, it's just safer and more productive and more effective for that person to just recommend them to another opinion. That either direct them to someone who can help them, or you can tell them, if you allow me, let me take your situation to someone and explain them, and then I can also get their feedback, and then I'll come back to you and share that. So we shouldn't be afraid of asking other devotees their opinion. Yeah, because everyone has a different way of looking at it, and everyone has a different level of understanding of Shastra, everyone has different experiences. So we may want to draw on someone who has experiences of a realm that we don't have so much experience of. Yeah, so we can always recommend another opinion. Yeah. And then finally, when you offer advice to someone, try to do it in an inspirational way. We don't want people to follow our advice just because, you know, we've scared them, or because we've managerially cornered them, or because, you know, we want to establish that I'm right and you're wrong and therefore you should do this. But rather, we want to present the advice in an encouraging way and an inspiring way, in a way that shares the benefits of following this if you do it. And in this way, our approach is always inspirational rather than intimidating. And it's very, very important. When we're in a position of influence or responsibility, it's very easy to become intimidating with people. And you know, sometimes we do it unconsciously. But we're not trying to intimidate. Prabhupada says, this is a movement which is based around love and trust. So we're not trying to intimidate people. We're not trying to force people. Krishna consciousness is completely voluntary. So we're trying to inspire people to take that which will actually help them in their spiritual life. Yeah, so these are some principles that you employ while offering advice. And then finally, some principles after offering the advice. Because it's not once you've given advice, that's it, job done. I've done my bit, now it's in their court. No. The first thing is, after you've offered advice, you can always get some feedback from the person. How does it sound? Do you think you can do it? Come back to me after a week and let me know how it's going, and then if we need to adjust, we can adjust. You know, the best advice is not given just like from one person to another person in one go. The best advice is created in an iterative way, which means you go, the person comes back, you go, the person comes back, you go, and this exchange, you actually get to the best advice you can get to. Yeah, so always get some feedback and ask the people you're advising how it's going, how they're doing with that. and then in this way support them in that ongoing journey. This is very important. Do you get frustrated when you spend time with someone, when you patiently go through everything with them, when you explain every little thing and you rack your brains to try to give them something really good and then they don't follow it? Is that frustrating? That's frustrating, isn't it? You sometimes think like, I don't want this person to be my mentee anymore. I'm done. They don't listen to me. You know, this is something that everyone goes through. Even gurus have to go through it. Or to speak of mentors. Even gurus have to go through it when disciples don't follow the advice, the good advice which is given. Because actually it's very hard to follow advice. One English writer, he says, it takes a great person to give good advice, but it takes an even greater person to follow good advice. Right? It's not easy actually to follow advice. So sometimes if you spend so much time and energy in trying to really help someone and they don't follow what you have to say, then don't immediately become distant from them. Don't immediately lose hope. Don't immediately cut off the relationship. But give them time. Give them time. And when they see that you carry on investing in that relationship, even though they're not doing their part fully, then what will happen is that over time, their trust and their affection for you will grow more and more and more, to an extent that one day you'll give them advice and they will follow it. But if you don't make those inputs, if you just expect that, no, you said you're my mentee, you accepted me as a mentor, you even wrote it on the sheet and sent it into the mentorship committee, you took the response, and now you're not following? No. Because you can sign as many sheets as you want, but it's an affair of the heart. So then that requires some time you have to give to that person. And time often when they don't follow what you have to say.
Can you repeat the last statement again? What is that? On the sheets?
Yeah, that, you know, they've put their names on the sheets, they've signed everything off, and therefore the mentor is saying to the mentee, you made the full agreement, you signed the pact, you signed the contract, why are you not following me now? But no, it's not that they follow you just because they signed something. Ultimately, they have to have a heart-to-heart connection with you. So the signing and the formalities, that's just the beginning. The real thing is a sense of affection for that person. That's the real. Even in a guru-disciple relationship, that's the real initiation. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, how come it took you so many years to get initiated? 11 years. Prabhupada said, the first day I walked away from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, I accepted him in my heart. That's the real thing. Acceptance in the heart. So that requires an investment. So we should always maintain some detachment. Even if, mentees don't follow. Of course, again, with all of these things, there's a cut-off point. If year after year you're advising someone and they're not following anything, and you see no progress, then maybe it may come to a point where you say to them, okay, maybe you need to take advice from someone else because I'm not really... But we should be patient. Patient with people. When I'm speaking all these things, I'm thinking about myself and I'm thinking, my God, like, I have to really develop some of these things. Easy to speak, difficult to follow. And then finally, follow them up. Yeah? So, always keep in contact with them and ask them how the advice is going and change their advice if the advice needs to be changed. Sometimes we advise someone in such a way and then we think, because I said that, I have to be right, and even though everything's going wrong, you won't change your stance. No, it is right. But maybe we got it wrong. So if we do the follow-up and we see the situation and we see actually the advice which I gave is not really having a very good impact on this situation, maybe we have to change it. Okay, again, we don't have to be perfect, but at least it shows integrity in the relationship like that. So these were just some principles that I wanted to share with you. I've already gone over time actually. So really think about this, think about how you're advising people. As I said, this is a very, very rewarding service, but it's a service which needs to be really carried out with great caution and great care, because we're really now actively taking a part in people's spiritual lives, and Krishna is watching very closely. So Krishna can become very, very pleased when we do it in the right way. And if we don't, then it's not very good for anyone's spiritual life or for the community of devotees. So think about these principles. Maybe we'll email this out and everyone can, you know, have something to refer to. I won't take questions. Should I take questions?
Yeah, if there are.
If there are any questions or anything that I missed out on this topic of giving advice that anyone would like to add, then I'm sure that we can take that.
I mean, after hearing all this, I was just thinking that the more we evolve spiritually, I think these things can be done in a more spontaneous
yes.
way. I think it has to work more on ourselves,
yes.
to become more internalized and become more stronger in our Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And I think that will give a much impact.
Yes, very, very nice point. That actually, as we spiritually evolve ourselves as devotees of Krishna ourselves, then actually all these abilities come actually naturally. It's very interesting actually. When Srila Prabhupada left the planet, then Giriraj Maharaj explains that one day, because in Mumbai they were cultivating so many big industrialists, so they went to one industrialist after Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and they went to this industrialist who was like a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, so many companies, thousands of people working underneath him. And they came to him and they said, can you give us some advice, managerial advice on how to run ISKCON? Because Prabhupada said organization and intelligence. So they came to him and they said, can you give us advice on how we should manage ISKCON? He said, you're coming to me? He said, you're coming to me to ask for advice? He says, look at your own guru. Look at your own spiritual master who was managing a worldwide movement, millions of pounds of assets, thousands and thousands of people, just sitting behind the desk, and he didn't even have a diary. It was all just going on by his spiritual purity. That's the actually potency of someone who has spiritual purity. That actually all of these things come naturally. You don't have to learn it in a management seminar or anything like that. However, for us, while we're developing that purity, in the meantime, it's very good for us to remind ourselves of these principles so that actually we can begin to implement it until a time when it becomes actually spontaneous. So you're totally right. It will come spontaneously as we evolve ourselves. And until that time, we should make an effort to consciously apply these principles and be aware of them.
There's a question on Skype.
Okay.
Krishna Kirtan. How to articulate to someone to care for that you don't have time available to speak to them when they need it without offending them, especially when their situation seems to be always going on and taking a lot of the mentor's time?
Okay, so we want to care for someone and we genuinely care for someone, but oftentimes their demands for time are much beyond our own capacity. So in this situation, the most important thing I feel in a relationship is just honesty. Just honesty. Be very honest about what you can and can't do, and don't give people false promises. Because what's worse than not giving someone time is not giving them time when you've given them the impression that they will get time. So everyone lives in the world, everyone knows time is scarce. Right? Prabhupada wrote an article once in Back to Godhead, "No time, the chronic disease of modern man." So there's no time, is the chronic disease of everyone. So the main thing is, if we're very, very open with people and we explain, "I want to help you, I want to serve you in this way, but just be very clear that this is what I can and can't do. I have a family, I have children." People are, they will understand. But just make sure we don't give someone the impression that we'll give X amount of time or X amount of attention and then we fail to live up to that. That's worse. But I think the main thing is just be very open and real about what you can give someone. And then that will resolve. You finishing here? Any last questions? No? Okay. So we'll finish there. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And I hope that was of some use. And look forward to the next session. Maharaj is speaking on unity in diversity, I think. Is that the topic?
Yes, if he's there.
If he's there. Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavinda ki jai.